24th, 2010. And you guys know I don't like it when Gen Y people brag about how much better they are than everybody else. But look, I want you to know that I've never had much respect for the wisdom of older people either. I don't have much wisdom for what in ancient poetry they used to call the hoary head. H-O-A-R-Y. That means white. The white head. I don't have much respect for them. Most of them have very few life lessons to offer anybody. They need to be taught themselves. So what are they going to teach me or you or their kids? And you know what? This applies to educated people, too, not just the ordinary ignoramus. And here's my proof. I read this week that when Prince Charles was a young man, he had was advised, Jerry, don't make noise. He was advised by his uncle. Jerry's drinking while I'm doing my intro, and I got the mic open for him. You be quiet. Anyway, Prince Charles was advised by his uncle, Lord Mountbatten, not to marry Camilla Parker Bowles because she was, A, sexually experienced, B, she was a year and a half older than him, and C, she was a commoner. So instead, he married a 19-year-old girl with whom he had nothing in common. It was a total disaster, and after all kinds of agony, who did he end up with? Camilla Parker Bowles. And this guy, Lord Mountbatten, who gave him all that good advice, he'd been the Viceroy of India. He was a big man. He'd been around the world, and he didn't know anything. That's point number one. Now point number two for my intro. It's not an integrated intro. There's just some separate points today. Gee whiz. Mike A. Stringer sent me an article this week from Inc. magazine. I-N-C. Inc., not I-N-K like you're right with. Anyway, the author, her name is Renee Oricchio. I think that's how you say it. And I'm going to change her words a little, but essentially this is what Renee says. She says, it makes my skin crawl when someone says they're going to reach out, as in we want to reach out to you to make you aware of our new product, or we reached out to John Schmo to join us for our meeting on the 30th. Reach out implies an intimate yearning for human connection that the average corporate tool doesn't sincerely mean when he sprinkles it everywhere. Let me be clear, she says, unless you like coming across as insincere and affected, it's obnoxious. And I agree. She closes off. It's a pathetic attempt to infuse a little human warmth in our chilly electronic world. I just think it's stupid. I don't know why they use it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I am so popular. This is point number three. I'm so popular that I couldn't get a guest for the show today, so we're going to have an American Thanksgiving free-for-all on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! I had to go a little softer with that today. I've got 25 people directly upstairs getting ready for a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, well, it's not Thanksgiving yet. What are they having it for today? And you know what? You didn't stop you from getting juiced up before the show, so you made all kinds of noise during my intro.
Good Lord.
Anyway, okay. Now, listen, everybody, if you're listening live, you can go to recruiting. You can go to recruitinganimalshow.com, and I've got a list of the topics that I lined up for there. But if anybody has a topic they want to bring, it's a free-for-all. I just don't count on my listeners or callers to come up with anything. But if you've got a topic.
Yeah, I've got a topic.
What's that, Jerry?
Who is this picture of on your website there?
Okay, well, you're jumping the gun.
.com/animal Can we just jump right to that?
Oh, you mean recruitinganimalshow.com? Well,
no, this is blogtalkradio.com /animal
That's the same site. Recruitinganimalshow.com takes you to that same page. It's
okay.
Easy to remember. Okay, Jerry, get
with it, will
you? Is that an
inappropriate topic?
No, I had it down there for later under party dresses, but I will talk about it now if you
insist.
My goodness. Now, for the people who can't, you know, are listening late, they can't see. This is a welcoming picture I've got on the site of lovely actress Jessica Lowndes of 90210. And she's wearing a strapless gown, and it looks like someone dumped two bowling balls in the front of it and left them uncovered. Right?
What?
And
I called
that party dresses was the topic. And what I was going to discuss was if you were wearing something, not you, Jerry, something like that to a Christmas party or some kind of party from your work, how would it go over? Would, you know, a girl like this get a promotion or would she get kicked out? Anybody got an opinion?
Well, has anybody else seen the picture? Let's let everybody get to the picture. Blake? Blake, are you
there? I'm heading there. Hang on just a second.
BlogTalkRadio.com.
Okay, you know, this is supposed to be like practical dressing. This Rayanne.
I would say that this is not an office party dress.
Okay, Rayanne, you're open.
This is your first.
Oh, thank you.
This is your first date with a sugar daddy.
I don't think this is the first date dress. Uh-uh.
Oh, it could be.
Let's get a layup.
Oh, holy cow!
Holy mackerel!
She's hot.
Yeah.
I need
absurd.
That dress. I think.
Oh my.
If you'd like to see her, if you click on her name, you'll see her. If you click on her name, you'll see her singing "America the Beautiful."
No, I don't need that.
She's
a Canadian. I don't need to see a Canadian singing "America the Beautiful."
I know all I need to know about this woman.
Okay,
I see
Rayanne.
No polish.
Rayanne, what happens if you wear that to a real party at work?
Nobody listens to a word you're saying.
Okay. I mean. It's kind of surreal. I was shocked. That's why I put it there.
It's a little surreal. I think she's got – it's like one of those Barbie dolls. She's got a pump in her back that if she sees a guy she likes and wants to talk to, she just pumps it up a little bit. Mm. I don't know if you remember, back in the 70s, maybe late 60s, there was a Barbie doll that actually blossomed. And you pumped her arm, and her boobs got bigger as you pumped her arm.
Okay,
I'm thinking...
Recruit for you. He's got his 9-year-old daughter listening. It is a family show. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
And
thank
look,
you,
Greg,
Recruit
Greg,
for
Greg
you.
Dergurian.
Hi, Steven.
Okay.
Sorry.
Jerry, that was you wanted to talk about it. I'm pretty well done with that.
Okay, I don't need to talk about it anymore, but thanks, Animal.
Okay.
I'm just
guessing
that you don't have to talk very much in that dress.
Okay, next topic.
That's a good dress to wear if you have laryngitis.
Okay, yeah. You're going to get laryngitis. Everything's so open there. But anyway, next topic. I wanted to start off today really with a Twitter tip. I noticed last week Resume Strategy sent me a note, and she gave a link, glassdoor.com. She didn't put any prefix on it. There was no HTTP. There was no www, and it was on Twitter. And just adding the .com made it into a live link. I was amazed.
Hot, huh?
It saved. See, it made it hot. It saved.
That's rocket science.
Saved a lot of space. It was a real discovery for me, Jerry. So that's something to realize. But ironically, this morning when I did it myself, she was the first one to complain that the link wasn't live. And the reason was, she said she was looking at it on her mobile phone, and for some reason, it doesn't come live there. So,
well,
if you
do
put
know,
a,
Animal, that if
what?
You use a Twitter tool like Hootsuite or TweetDeck, whatever you put in as an HTTP, it shortens it anyway.
Okay.
So it
great.
Saves you space anyway.
Oh, so there's an automatic shortener on those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Automatic
great.
Shortener.
That's,
so back to this actress here.
Yeah.
Where can I see some of her work?
Yeah.
Where's
that again?
She's a singer. Jerry, if you click on her name, you'll go to a whole YouTube page of her stuff.
She's not a B-movie actress or anything?
For the show.
She's a TV actress. Jerry wants to leave to his Thanksgiving party anyway, and maybe that would be a good idea. Okay, so let's move on.
Jerry, you've already started drinking, huh?
What?
I've got another tip.
Allegedly.
I've got another tip. I've got another tip.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Okay, please.
No,
please,
nowhere.
Jerry, sober up.
Okay, allegedly.
Now, Amitai Giverts, my good friend Amitai Giverts, at Amitai Giverts, he told me about a tool. I'm going to have to start blocking you guys, okay?
You're going
to
block me?
Don't talk while
I'm
talking. Don't talk while I'm talking. Don't talk while I'm talking.
That's impossible,
okay?
Because you're always talking.
Jerry,
you want to fight, buddy?
Okay, anyway, Amitai told me about a tool for your computer called SystemMechanic.com. SystemMechanic.com, you can download it for free for 30 days, and it'll fix up your computer, because I was doing some reading, and Windows naturally slows down over time, and so you have to clean up your registry and your hard disk, and this does it for you. I've tried it.
Yeah,
it's
don't you
good.
Know that you're just allowing Big Brother in by letting some third party access your computer and clean it up?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
How are they accessing my computer?
Do that. I would never do
never
that.
Never do it.
You're opening
never
all the, you're opening your API up for anybody to access your computer and cruise through it. And if they see anything that they like maybe your Social Security number or your credit card number, you think that's not going to be captured or taken somewhere else?
Okay.
They wouldn't get too far with it.
Okay. Thank you, Rianne. Well, if someone doesn't want to use that, they can use CC Cleaner for free. That's a good tool. CC Cleaner.
It's for free.
It's
so how
free.
Do they monetize?
I don't know. You go there. That's called a lost leader, Rianne. They sell all kinds of other software, but they get popular
by giving
away this one.
What's it do?
Just go and download it, Jerry. This isn't a computer show, okay? I just wanted to give out a few tips for the listeners before we get really going into our stuff. Now, the next topic is Rianne versus Maureen. I noticed that Rianne had a podcast recently on Recruiter Earth, so I asked her about it, and she said, Chris, that's Chris Lavoie, who runs that site,
mm-hmm.
Chris asked me to write a guest posting knowing that I write bonus track on recruitingblogs.com. And then he asked me to do a radio interview, and that reminded me of a conversation I had with Chris Lavoie, because
mm-hmm.
he kicked Maureen off of his site. And
Maureen.
Yeah, Maureen.
She's not even around.
So,
where is she?
She's out on the road today, okay? But I want to play a bit of my conversation. And he kicked her off specifically because she was already on recruitingblogs.com. Listen to this.
My friend, Maureen Sherub, who's on my show regularly, she tried to log into your site, and she got a message that she was banned or something like that.
For me, there was this community that was built, and she was more on that side than our side. And so simply what we did in Smart Business, we want to develop our own community, our own group, and we've never had a dialogue. She's never called me up and say, hey, why am I not part of the community?
Yeah, but was it just because you didn't kick Paul off? He's got a competing site. I'm so curious. Like, why would you kick her off? I mean, she's not hurting you.
Well, the thing is that if she's really interested in having a conversation, if she's
you're switching the question. You're avoiding the question. Why did you kick her off?
Michael, hold on a second, Adamo.
I mean, whatever your name is, if you can sit here and have a conversation with somebody, then I'll have a dialogue with you. But don't sit here and be the guinea pig or be the pit bull with your little community and come over to me and be disrespectful. I'm not being disrespectful for you. I'm not sitting there telling you how you run your business.
You know, I think that
I'm not telling you how to run your business. I'm asking a question. I'll be quiet, too. Just go answer the question, though. You're not a politician. Give a straight answer.
Anyway, that's it. I just wanted to play it.
How long ago was that?
Earlier this year, I think, or maybe last year, it was on the ex-recruiter show, and that was one of the best shows that ever was. I got kicked off, by the way, just so you know.
There
that
you go.
He didn't
good
win
for
that.
You. Good for you.
I got kicked off. But this
I like
guy,
the comment about your little community.
Yeah. First he said he's got 14,000 people on, but he only likes to let on people who are active and who he knows, and, you know, that was obviously
untrue.
Yeah,
I guess he doesn't like lurkers or...
14,000 people.
Not a,
you've got about 100 people, about 100 or 200 or 14,000 are actually active. Everybody knows that's true if they've got any social media savvy. And then he came up with this thing that she's already on another site, like recruiting blogs. And now he's got you in there. Like, are you a sponsor or
something
like that?
I'm not a member on that site, though. Animal, I'm not a member over there.
Anyway, I'm a member, too. I wanted to
investigate I'm back.
Okay, Jerry. Okay, so now we're going into the real we're going to the real recruiting talk. Like,
don't you want to know what I was doing?
I want to go back to the Maureen versus Rayanne. I thought we were going to do like a death match or celebrity death match or something like that.
She's not even here. But this guy likes you, but he kicked her off and he won't say why, okay? That's my point. And that just showed what he told me. What he told me in such a self-righteous manner was totally untrue, okay?
I don't know. I can't answer that because I've never had a discussion with him about it. So.
Well, you heard it. I played it for you. What more do you need?
I know, but I'm not on that community, and I've never been kicked off of the community. So.
Forget it. Okay,
Prince Charles.
We're moving ahead.
Animal,
we're
can
moving
you hear
ahead,
me?
Please. Yes.
Can you hear me, Animal?
Yes, I can. Hi, Mike. Hey,
how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Hi, Mike.
Kramer.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi. Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, Animal.
Thanks. Yes?
You're getting down to authenticity and transparency, right?
Thank you very much, Mike.
And Animal, and you are a stand-up, authentic person.
Are you doing what Jerry's doing?
No. I am just,
okay.
I am just saying it like
I can. Just set the record straight.
Jerry,
nobody is doing what I'm doing. Okay? Nobody's doing what I'm doing.
Allegedly. You're authentic.
This Animal, you are authentic and transparent, and so is Jerry. And I find most people out there, including many people who are running communities, are not. And you're proving one piece that you found and you discovered. So I find it very interesting. And that is all I'll say on that topic.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Even though it's not a Thanksgiving here in Canada, I appreciate that salute.
Yeah, but
okay.
we're experiencing Thanksgiving here, and we're thankful for you, Animal.
Thank you very much. I'm thankful for you, Rayanne, the hit girl.
I am thankful for the Kahlua Company, the Absolute Organization, the Dairy Company.
Have you recruited for them, Jerry? Have you recruited for them?
sure.
Okay, We got to move ahead. Please.
No, we don't.
Yes, I'm saying so.
What's
I'm
the pressing
charge,
issue
Jerry.
Here?
Get your
hey,
own
Jerry.
Show.
Yeah.
I just sent you a link with some more pictures of that fine young lady.
Oh, thank you. I'll save them for later.
Okay, on recruitingblogs.com, Paul Alfred wrote an article, and he says that he uses the counteroffer as a screening tool. He says the minute the candidate walks through your door, part of the interviewing process has to deal with whether she will accept a counteroffer. You come in, she says, are you going to take a counteroffer? It's almost the first thing you ask. And,
wrong.
You know,
yeah.
He says, listen to me. He says, if she says she might take a counteroffer, you stop the interview and tell her point blank, I can't waste my time or my client's time if you're not serious about making a move.
Wrong.
And that'll tell the client. Okay, go ahead, Jerry. What's wrong with
that? That's at the end.
Yeah, at the end.
That's after you've talked about who are they, what do they want to do, what you're going to do for them, put a plan together, and then you talk about, okay, once you and I go find the right position, you've interviewed, you've accepted a new position, your current employer is going to counteroffer you. Let's talk about what you're going to do when they sit you down and say, Maggie, we can't afford to let you go. That's when you talk about it, not on the front end. Used car sales chump
on
the front end.
Hey, Jerry, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on that. I mean, I talk about counteroffers midway through the process. After someone goes in for a first interview and they're asked back for a second,
no. Mike.
Let Mike finish.
I'll stop. Yeah,
go
Mike.
Ahead, Jerry.
The Paul guy was talking about during his first, when the candidate comes in, the very beginning of your relationship with the candidate, he's going to ask about a counteroffer.
Right.
I was talking about at least have your interview with that candidate before you get into the process with them. That's when
right.
you talk about it.
And
then in an ongoing fashion. So agree.
So, Jerry, at what point in the process do you talk about counteroffers? After the first interview?
As a recruiter, after my interview with them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But not at the front.
Right.
Hey, thanks for sending me your resume. Are you going to take a counteroffer?
Right, of course.
That's what I guess this Paul guy
said.
When
you get a sense that there might be some interest from your client that they are going to be making an offer, and that's a bit of a sixth sense, could be after the first interview, that's when you'll start testing the waters, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Well, I think this Paul guy probably agrees with Jerry that you do it at the end, and then if the person says they might accept the counteroffer, you use their own reasons for wanting to make a move against them. But I think why not take it to the extreme? Why not tell them right away, counteroffer, yes or no? And if they say maybe, they're out. That separates the sheep from the goats.
No,
the
it doesn't, animal. Because
you're not giving them a chance to really understand the position and learn more about it, and you can't cut them off right at the beginning.
Animal.
Giving them any information in which to gauge their answer, and I want you to know how loyal I am, animal.
How loyal are you?
How loyal.
Who is that?
This is Kathy. I woke up at 6 a.m.
Right.
to be at the market at 7 to get my pre-ordered turkey. That I would be back at 9 to listen to your show. I set my own
car. Really? Thank you very much. And Jerry's got, he's got a party going on upstairs, and he's on the show. I am truly blessed.
I've got a party going on right here. Okay.
For my
hey, animal, I'm actually supposed to be working, and I'm here. I'm loyal.
Right.
Hey, on this counteroffer topic, which I think is a little too heavy on Thanksgiving Eve, but I'll go with it. Okay. If you think that the candidates most susceptible to a counteroffer are the ones who are going to say, why, yes, I would accept a counteroffer, then you're a novice recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who say,
you're a novice job seeker, too.
Jerry, you are
absolutely right again. What do you do to get a sense of whether they may be susceptible to a counteroffer? What do you ask? What do you do?
Well, I assume that everyone is going to get a counteroffer.
Mm-hmm.
So my responsibility is to educate them on what all is going to take place once they resign. And I make sure that I have such a conversation that when the counteroffer does happen, there's no surprises, and it's exactly as I said it was going to be, thus confirming, listen
right.
to me, not your boss.
Right.
So whether somebody
right.
says they would take one or they wouldn't, see, that's not the real question. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Because you're going to get one.
Right.
We just went through a counteroffer just a couple of weeks ago that was horrendous.
Mm.
Absolutely horrendous. They brought
Jerry,
in lawyers to talk with the guy.
I've heard this tactic, and I've used it once.
They
once
never,
in a while.
Counteroffers never work. Why does anybody ever consider it?
But counteroffers might
work.
Have you asked a candidate to go to their boss and ask for an increase in their salary before you give an offer to them? Have you tried that? That's sort of a strong arm tactic, but in certain cases it can work.
I've never done that.
Can you describe that a bit more, Mike? I want to hear more about it. I like that. Tell me how that works.
You like that?
Yeah.
Well, if money is a real driver here, right? Then what I don't do it often, but you got to get a sense. For salespeople, this is more common, right? If money is a top driver, then if you have a sense that there may be a counteroffer that could be in play, before you deliver an offer to the candidate through your client, to go to the candidate and say, look, if it's all about the bucks, why don't you go and ask your manager for an increase now? Why do you need a counteroffer to get it?
But,
I mean, it's not quite that way, but you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, but
yeah,
Mike,
you call their bluff.
Mike, isn't that the something that would come up when you're first doing your first applicant interview with the candidate? If the main reason they're looking for a change is more money and a raise,
yeah.
I will then tell someone, then you need to go talk to your boss.
Yes.
I even wrote a blog on recruiting blogs that got a lot of lot of play of, you know, if somebody's just looking for an increase in salary,
right?
Then here's how you do it, and don't waste our time.
You know, here's, let me share with the group here what a wise old mentor once said to me. This is a guy 40 years in the business, and there's things that you never forget, right? They say, and quote, if it's all about the money, they'll break your heart every time.
Yeah, which is why these recruiters that call and they want to talk about a big salary increase as the main reason for trying to get the candidate interested.
Right.
They're starting off in the wrong way,
absolutely. It can't be about the money. I agree with you, Jerry. It can't even be in the top three.
Are you guys drinking at all?
Maybe the third. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, Jerry.
So
anyway,
Mike,
Animal,
what
this is your show,
what,
right?
What,
yeah.
Mike,
yes, you're drinking or yes, you agree?
Mike, it's not his show. Look at me, Mike.
I said Animal, it's your show.
Yeah, what are the if money is the third motivator for a move, what are the two main first motivators?
Animal, there's so many different motivators, clearly.
What are the most common motivators aside from money? Come on.
One of the common motivators, not satisfied or happy with your current manager.
Right.
I mean, that's,
people leave because their bosses are dicks.
Exactly.
That's like an 80% reason.
Yep.
Is
that
it? 80%?
Counter offers never work.
Bitches, Derek will buy that
you
one.
Need to.
Yeah, I will.
So,
Animal, you remember in a prior show I used the acronym CLAMS? Animal, remember in a prior show I used the acronym CLAMS, CLAMS, and
yes.
S for flexibility. Challenge, location, advancement, money, security, and F for flexibility. These are some of the reasons.
Up with a new acronym. I don't really want to talk about CLAMS on Thanksgiving. Probably should come up with a new acronym.
I
agree.
All right.
Change the words around. I mean, you don't have to say CLAMS, do you? Can't you say MACLAs or?
All right. Whatever.
Okay,
know.
I'm ready to move on. Does anybody else want to talk about?
I've been chatting online with babes all day.
Anybody? Who's talking there? Does anybody else want to talk about counteroffers? Counteroffers, anything else? Okay, Jerry.
Am I going to get cut off?
Yeah, you are. Who's doing all that laughing out loud?
I'm sorry.
Oh, who's enjoying your show out loud?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no more
Jerry.
Fun, people.
Okay, I was reading an article. I was reading an article by a guy named Paul Daly on Ochre House, O-C-H-R-E, house.com.
That's a color.
He works for an RPO, and he said that companies are losing tons of money when they hire contract employees from recruiters like you. And he says, why do managers prefer contractors to permanent employees? Number one, he said for some reason
it's easier
to get approval for temps.
You're exactly correct, and that is why I'm here.
Okay, and then for permanent employees. Number two, what's going on there? You guys got the giggles?
Holy cow.
Jerry, I'm asking you this question.
Who broke into the special brownies today?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, look, Animal, I know it seems like it, but I'm not in charge here.
Okay, you're going to find out I got the button, but I'm kind enough to give you a question here.
Okay, lay it on me, Biggie.
The contract employees are a waste of time because it's easy. People want them because it's easy to get approval for temps, and it's easier to get a good contractor than a good perm guy. But he says contractors charge 30% over permanent salary. The agency recruiter charges another 20%, so the cost of a contractor is 50% over a full-time employee. And a lot of companies, bigger companies, are bad at tracking how many contractors they've got. They could have tons of them and be losing a ton of money. Do you agree with him, Jerry, or not?
I agree. I don't think it's a bad idea for companies. I mean, companies can't afford to employ every potential talent they may need, especially for short-term projects, project upgrades, plant consolidations. Sometimes you only need a small group of people for 4 or 8 months, And there's no reason to not just bring them in as a contractor, get the job done, and they're done.
Okay, so like we're talking, after 6 months, you shouldn't be keeping a guy, or you should take him perm. Is that what you're saying?
I like 12 months.
You just said 6 to 8 or 4 to 8, right?
Yeah, but you got to stay on afterwards to make sure that there's no maintenance issues or troubleshooting.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that? I don't know anything about it. I just thought it was interesting. This guy said it's a real money hole, a money sink.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, Animal, it's much easier to fire or lay off. I shouldn't say easier, but it's to let people go who are on temp.
Heartless.
Right?
Ruthless.
Yeah, it's much easier to let people go who are contractor temp. Permanent full-time employees, it may take months to unwind. And so there's a cost to that, to let people go. And there's also legal issues and a whole host of
okay,
other things.
You know what?
Well, there's
Jerry
other issues
that
play, too.
Recruiters that are not considering contracting or consulting options,
yeah.
They're missing out big time.
Yeah, but, you know, the company's losing. It isn't better for the company because
yeah,
they brought more money. They have to pay benefits. They'd have to, you know, pay someone to take out payroll taxes. It's probably
yeah,
cheaper
for it's much easier to just pay a couple of consultants to come in, consolidate your accounts payable systems, and move on. And you don't have to pay year after year and find work for them to do.
Well, that's exactly what I'm working on right now, consolidating systems, reducing the needed amount of headcount. You know, but unfortunately, sometimes you got companies that are contracting in positions that shouldn't be contracting, that need to be more intimate inside the organization. Why is that happening? And that's because companies are downplaying on salary. So
man,
it's a lot
I am hammering.
To cut through the red tape and bring somebody in as a contractor.
Okay,
oh
Derek,
God.
Just to Derek, a last question.
Hey, honey,
about
can
that.
You make me another one of these, baby?
Oh, my God.
Gee whiz.
That is empty.
Derek, are you there?
Yeah, I'm
Derek,
here.
Derek, are you okay? Should they be hiring you
my
permanently?
My apologies, guys. I thought I had that on mute. I'm sorry.
Should they be hiring you permanently, Derek? Or how long are you going
to
be there on temp?
Right now, I don't know. I'm going on 2 months. Could be 3, 6. It all depends on their search. They're still looking for someone at a low salary dollar, somebody at a local rate.
Oh, really? I see. Okay, isn't that interesting? Okay, they're willing to pay you more so they can hire somebody who's cheaper long-term. Okay.
Yeah, they've brought a ton of people through. There's been nobody promising. And one of the problems that I'm having with my vendor relationships is that they are they're having a difficult time working with the company because they haven't been able to solidly plant somebody in this position. And this position I deal with is very important. You can't just toss a temp in for a couple months. You have to build that relationship between the client and the suppliers.
Because
okay.
It's a relationship-oriented position where you have to know the contracts, what's going on. You're negotiating
exactly.
with those different people, and it's not a come in and look at some paperwork for a month or two and move on. It's
exactly.
an ongoing thing. That position probably shouldn't be contracted.
Exactly.
Now, positions
you know
where
you
just have to come in and upgrade
time.
A particular software
right.
or straighten out some quality issues, that should all be contracted, in my opinion.
Well,
and everybody should call
me. Comes around. And it's time to go back and revisit. It's good to deal with the person that originally negotiated the contracts 12 months ago.
No gold.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that point.
Oh.
We're moving on. Thank you. Next point, glassdoor.com. I do appreciate it. Live Derek Stolpa, Stolpa, if you want to talk to him about
we
his next
gig. We don't care about
Glassdoor.
Yeah,
I want to know something about Glassdoor. Glassdoor is where you can upload information about your salary and the interviews and the working conditions where you've worked, and then job hunters can go there and check it out. You know what?
That's not me. That's not me.
Okay. Anyway, so, you know, Resume Strategy last week, she said, oh, you should go there. How many people use it to find out about the company? And how many people try it?
Nobody.
And don't get anything.
We've never heard of it, and we don't care about it.
You've never heard of it?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to start.
What is this, Animal?
I can't
to get
hear
salary
myself.
Information? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Animal.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'll be back
ahead.
In a second. I'm going to whip up number 3. Be back.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Who wanted
I use
to talk
Glassdoor.
Do I really want to ask a question of what he meant by that?
Dr. Nick.
Yes, sir. Yo.
What area code are you, Dr. Nick?
I'm either 800 or 603. I don't know.
Oh, you're 603. Okay, I won't cut you. Okay, go ahead. Next. What do you
right
want to say?
So, from a Canada perspective, Glassdoor is very popular. It's used by a segment of mid-level professionals and some entry-level folks as well. The information on it is really regional, though. There are some pockets of the country which have much better penetration into the employee market than other pockets have. As a resource,
so what you're saying there, though, what you're saying that there's a limited number of companies that you can find information about on Glassdoor. Is that what you're
definitely,
saying?
Definitely, because all of the information on there is supplied by the employees anonymously, so there has to be a presence or, you know, a critical mass before you're getting real good information since it's all crowdsourced. And there
so
are some
larger,
companies...
It's larger companies, then. Does that mean, so if they, you know...
Well,
you
that's
know, who's
just
doing that stuff.
How are they uploading the
who's
jobs
area code
that are out
718?
There?
Who's area code 718?
Close them off.
Yep. Who's 512? Is that you, Rayanne?
That's
no,
me.
I'm 949.
Hey, it's Blake at 512. Hey, but that was, I'm sorry,
right.
That was me. Bill Bowman actually just texted me and
that's New York, right? Who's 212? Who's 212? You're on mute now.
Come on.
Okay, 949, who's that?
That's me. That's Rayanne.
Okay, 714, who's that? You're on mute. Tell me, put it on Twitter if you want to come back on. Okay, Dr. Nick, tell us about Glassdoor. Come on, I had enough.
So,
of that.
Yeah, you're right. In terms of larger companies, they've got more people, so they're going to have more data on there. There
are
some small.
Are they scraping jobs to put them up there? Do you know?
Can you let them get it out, Rayanne? Can you let them
no,
go?
They're using aggregator.
Okay, so it's
they're
like
doing,
an Indeed.
Right, they're using either Simply Hired or Indeed. I think they use
okay.
Indeed on their back end, and that's
okay.
where they get most of their jobs. I haven't found a real strong resale value, and I use it as a third or a fourth tier resource when I'm doing research. You know, it's not one of the first or second or third places I go. If I don't have good success when I'm looking at trying to build a profile out for a client, then I'll maybe go there, but it is some place that I recommend job seekers go to just as a reference point
yeah.
and a place to put data in. But for a recruiter...
I was only familiar with the blog portion of it, so this is actually pretty... There's a lot of resources here.
Yeah, but from a recruiting standpoint, I don't necessarily know if it would be good other than a backup information resource. You're probably going to have better success hitting up a Jigsaw or a Hoover's
yeah,
or, you know.
No, what I was thinking of it is if you want to look there, you've got a client and you want to see if they're a decent place to work, you can't find information on that many companies.
That's true. And that's, again, because it's all people – have to put that data in, and if nobody from that company or area has put something in, then there ain't any data there.
Okay. Now, in her case, she had a candidate who found one very articulate explanation about situations in the company that he was looking at, and on that basis, he made a strategic decision. But who's making that noise?
What the hell?
I'm back.
That's Jerry. Okay.
What
so anyway, so she was ridiculing me because I wasn't using Glassdoor. You know, maybe it might
Glassdoor
be worth a look.
Again?
That one entry was good, but generally speaking, it has, you know, just like anything else, limited value. Am I right, Dr. Nick? You're the expert.
I believe that is the case at this point in time, from my opinion. It's, again, you know, I only go there after I've exhausted other stuff and see if there's something to get lucky with. But
okay, great. Thank you. Now, I'm going to talk about...
Like the bar at 2
a.m. Yes.
I'm going to talk... I was looking at jobsearchcoach.com has a lot of... at JobSearchCoach on Twitter. He's got a lot of stuff on recruiting blogs that I found interesting, and the first thing was LinkedIn Jobs for You. Are you familiar with that? Or LinkedIn Referral Engine. That's the most interesting thing. Anybody heard about it? Yes or no?
No.
Uh-uh. No.
Okay. LinkedIn Referral Engine, it recommends the best candidates for your jobs by looking at all your employees' contacts through the lens of those open jobs. You post a job on LinkedIn, and it goes through your employees' contacts and sends them an email that they should refer these people to their boss, and it lets them make the final choice about who's really good. And then it sends your employees reminders if they don't act on it. Do you understand that? Does everybody get that? It's they want your employees to use their networks on LinkedIn. Now, the thing is...
Yeah, they want everybody to be a recruiter. Everybody's not a recruiter. Most people don't care about it.
Well, if everybody that's on LinkedIn is a recruiter, it no longer works or functions the way we want it.
Well, the point is, most of the profiles on LinkedIn are not filled out well, so I don't think the keyword searches are necessarily going to deliver the referrals. And lots of people don't...
You're right.
You know, they've got 10 people in their network, and if they have a lot of people, they don't really know those people anyway, just like the recruiters. I don't know my 4,000 contacts. If you've got 50, maybe you know them, but that's a rare person. I don't see, you know, this sounds great in theory, but I don't see it working on a practical level that well. Anybody got a comment? LinkedIn referral engine. Anybody got a comment? No.
I'm actually going to ask about this and have my rep show me what it's all about on a demo. But as a LinkedIn subscriber and user, both on a corporate as well as individual and some client contract basis, I can tell you that their responses do rate much higher than industry standard for any other types of stuff. So sending blind emails out or doing anything like that, the emails that I send through LinkedIn tend to have a much higher percentage rate. I can't
what emails
give you,
do you send through? You mean the in-mail, I'd like to talk to you about a position, that kind
in-mails,
of stuff?
In-mails and direct mails, and this is just another variation of that product. It's just determining, it's just another way for them to slice up how they're serving that data. It's interesting, but as a potential responder, from a recruiter standpoint, not so great. But from a corporate HR standpoint,
oh my God.
That's number three.
Shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, but from a corporate standpoint, this is actually a pretty cool tool.
Knock it off, Jerry.
Well,
it wasn't me.
Yes, it was. If the information, Dr. Nick, is rich enough, Jerry, you're wrecking the show. I'm going to cut you off if you do it again.
Don't say cut off to a man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you're wrecking the show. You're wrecking the show. Should I say it again?
How am I wrecking the show? That's
you're making
absurd.
Too much side noise. You're making too much side noise. That's
please,
what you're doing.
Jerry, please, please. Be nice.
Okay.
Okay.
You can't talk to
okay.
a guy who's not sober.
You don't, want my,
Ray-Ann.
You don't want my content? Fine.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Are you saying you can't reason with a drunk? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
I've heard
okay,
that before.
A couple of drinks
there's
and all
another,
of a sudden nobody wants to hang out with me.
There's another tool on LinkedIn. They have another product called LinkedIn Jobs for You. The job ads are targeted at qualified passive candidates based on their LinkedIn profile data, including job function, seniority, industry, location, and other factors. And it seems to me, I mean, it seems like a great idea. There's tons of people there, and you can put a job up, and it's going to send them to just the right guys. But you're still going to miss a lot of people because not that many people have all the relevant info there.
Well,
but I mean,
this is not necessarily based on LinkedIn. This is part of their ad network, just like the Monster Media Network. This is where they're sending stuff out to other job sites. So, like, when you go over to some random site.com, there's a LinkedIn job referral engine over on the right-hand side. Just like the Monster Job ads on Boston.com or, you know, Hot Jobs ads on some newspaper out on the West Coast. So LinkedIn's trying to expand their presence and fight directly, more directly, with the job board advertising networks with this product.
Hold on, Dr. Nick. It says that these guys, LinkedIn is going to send out emails or messages of some sort to the at least I think so, or make it appear on their pages to suit their person's qualifications. If you're a recruiter in Boston and somebody's looking for a corporate recruiter in Boston, you're going to see that ad.
Yeah, you will. I mean, it is based off of profiles, but they also expand it out to go across the web as well. So that's what they're talking about distributing.
There's another thing. There's another thing. I got, again, from Job Search Coach, realmatch.com. This is their shtick. They said there's so many job boards. A nurse in one geographic location finds one job board, and she'll post her resume. A hospital in the same area posts their job but on another site so they don't find each other. RealMatch.com, they've got a network of 1,000 job sites. Apparently they build job sites for other people, and so that's part of the – all those companies are part of their network, those job sites. So the network so these guys they've got them from newspapers, TVs, radio stations, industry sites, university sites, chambers of commerce, different associations, et cetera. All these guys have job search sites that they can access, and when a job is posted on any Real Match network site, it's posted over all of the sites, and when you register there, it automatically searches the database for you as an employee. And on the other hand, as an employer, when you put up your job ad, it automatically searches the resume database for you.
Man, this is too heavy. This is just too heavy for a party
animal,
day.
These are all tremendous tools and tricks
to the
trade.
Wait a second, Mike. Mike, just let me finish. Just let me finish.
Right.
It sends you – it doesn't cost you anything to post your job. It sends you a bunch of resumes with the contact info taken off. And if you think the person sounds interesting, then you pay and you can see the contact info. Go ahead, Mike.
These are all tricks of the trade and the newest mousetraps. But Jerry will also tell you, can you really recruit a passive candidate unless there's person-to-person engagement, human-to-human contact? When an email goes out, even if it's a perfect fit, is that passive candidate going to respond to an email? Is that passive candidate even getting the email? Is that passive candidate going to read an email within the 100 to 200 emails they get a day? The way to do it, and it will be more and more relevant going forward with when the war for talent heats up, is that it's got to be person-to-person contact. It's going to revert back to the old school where a human being has to call a human being to prompt them and to get into their mind, understand their career, understand the direction that they want to move, and then it's multiple touch points and conversations and engagement over time. So far, I haven't seen that technology can do this. Maybe it will. Artificial intelligence may be able to do it 10, 20, 30 years from now. But to recruit a true high-talent passive candidate, it's going to take a human being. I'm off my that's my soapbox.
You're off your soapbox. Well, listen, I think at this point, because for factors I said, most people don't have good profiles completed and things like that. But I think this is scary. I think that I think this is going to have an effect in much sooner a time than 20
Animal,
or 30 years.
What's the definition of a passive candidate?
Someone who's not looking for a job, but they've got their
Jerry,
profile.
Come on, you're
on
my side on this one, right? You know where I'm going with this. Can you recruit a passive candidate with an email?
With the job
sometimes.
Yeah. If it's a good job, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's good enough to cut into our
what is sometimes? 1 out of 10? 1 out of 5? What is sometimes? All right? Anyway, I know you don't want to go on a tangent here, but you know, you're talking about all the newest tools in the mousetrap, and I think it's tremendous what LinkedIn's doing. I've read about the referral engine. I've read about some things. But I think
other one was called Real Match as well. Similar idea.
All right.
But in fact,
Animal, I only think that this is going to make, quote, real recruiters even more relevant. Because if everybody's got the new mousetrap and everybody can do it, then it's going to be a commodity. It's going to water down, and it's going to take the real skill of human-to-human contact to recruit the passive candidate. Again, I'm on my soapbox here, but I think all these new tools are only going to assist us in the end.
Okay, and there's another one, Career Builder Talent Network.
Yeah, it is heavy, Jerry.
It's heavy. You got to get a handle on it.
Yeah. I heard about this. You know, Jerry, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Come on, okay?
Thanksgiving is in my heart, okay, Animal?
I think Jerry's thinking Thanksgiving is today. He's thankful today.
Yeah, right.
I am thankful
today. You know
today.
What? He's got his in-laws upstairs, and this is the way he's impressing them, okay?
No, this is the way I'm avoiding them.
Okay.
Tell me you don't know about in-laws there, buddy.
Okay. Anyway.
My in-laws are in the other room.
Career Builder has a talent network. I heard about it from Slouch. and also, again, from at Job Board Doctor. And they create a page for your jobs using all your branding, all your imagery, and they invite job seekers to join your network and start getting personalized job posts, a recruiter. What they want there is essentially to give you a talent pool that you can keep pumping your jobs out to. And not only that, you can upload all of your database, your whole ATS, into their system, and now your people who are just in the back files, they start getting your customized emails. When there's a job that suits them, it targets those people and sends emails to them specifically. And when they come to the page on a site like this, it knows who they are if they've registered, and it shows them immediately the jobs that are related to them. So,
Need to move on. You got 10 minutes left. Time to move on.
I want to finish this. Okay.
Have you been drinking, Rayanne? That's kind of an aggressive attitude.
No, I'm keeping it in line. Maureen's not here. He's only halfway through his list.
I don't have to finish the list. We got bogged down in real business stuff. It's Thanksgiving, okay?
We need to talk about body lingo.
Okay, I didn't really want to talk about that. Let me finish the talent network. Jason
Duncan's
hugest thing. You know what? I want to finish this, Jerry, and if I have to be the only one standing on the show, I'm going to do it, okay? So when people come to the site, they see jobs automatically if they're registered that suit them. There's also analytics that tell you who's coming to the site. So if you think you're not hitting the right people, you can make tweaks and send things out to different people or know that where your gaps are. Listen how much it costs. It's going to cost about $150,000 for the first year to set this stuff up. But Jason told me he thought it was really a breakthrough. Career Builder Talent Network. You want to read about that. Okay?
Who told you?
J.D. Jason Davis at Slouch, the guy who's crazy about job boards and online stuff like that, okay? Okay, so now we'll do the last thing. Jerry, you told me there's no after show. Is that right? I think you should have an after show. You should have saved all your on-regular show for the after show for, you know, some drunken party, okay?
Yeah, that's me. One cocktail, and I'm puking. Not bad.
You're under the table, yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so how much time is left here? Just let me see.
You have
1 minute. You got
1 minute.
8 minutes. 8 minutes.
I got 8 minutes. Thank
one.
You.
After show starts at 12:54.
Rayanne wanted to talk. Rayanne. Oh, jeez, I can't stand this talk. It's out of my own voice because I have to say things so many times. Rayanne wanted to talk. You know what, Jerry? I'm going to cut you off for the next 7 minutes.
That wasn't me.
Your show
that
starts.
Wasn't Jerry.
See, that was Mike Raymer.
That
was Mike Raymer.
That was Blake.
Damn.
Okay. Jonathan Davis of Hire Better Blog has an article on recruiting blogs about body language. So I isolated. So I read the articles. I isolated some of the things. The first one is the neck touch. When people feel insecure, they touch their neck. He says people rarely touch their necks unless they're uncomfortable. It's a good indicator of guilt. Anybody want
That's
to talk about
true.
That?
That's not true. Is this based on, like, a television show? I mean, did he hear Dr. Gregory House say that?
No,
or,
he talked to some guy who worked 25 years with the FBI in interrogating people.
Am I allowed to say anything?
Go ahead.
That's ridiculous.
So, did they do research on their own guys? Because I'm sure there are plenty of FBI agents out there touching their neck or cops.
Yeah, FBI.
This guy said most people who do the research, they're talking to students who don't really have any guilt, not like these terrorists. This guy interviewed terrorists, okay?
And they're not talking to actors that know this or smart people who do any kind of research about how to get away with anything.
The neck touch.
God.
The neck touch. The next thing is the verbal dispossession.
You know what? I touch my neck when I want somebody to look at it.
Oh, my.
Well, you're wearing one of those dresses like that girl. I know you. Right?
I don't. No, I don't wear a dress like that one. That dress would be dangerous on me.
Do you own it like that?
That dress would be dangerous on me.
Okay. This guy says.
Could we entice you to wear it?
Okay. This guy says, Blake, I'm going to cut you off, okay?
Cut Blake off.
Jeez.
Cut Blake off. He's just, that's ridiculous.
Before you do that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if we're talking body lingo, this is something specifically for corporate recruiters because most executive or third-party recruiters are doing their interviews over the phone and unless you're talking about potentially
Rhianne, you wanted to talk about it. Do you want me to finish the topic so it's interesting?
Yeah,
and
please
so
finish.
We spend our last 5 minutes saying why we shouldn't talk about it, okay?
I'm so thankful for you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, nobody was thankful for me today. I didn't feel
That's
the thanks,
true.
Let me
I
tell
you.
You
Animal, I am so thankful for
Twitter
you,
also.
Animal. I want to say thanks so much for the show. I have to run because I have a call in 5 minutes. But everyone, if you're in America, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Thank
have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys. You too. Bye.
Don't
drink
anything.
Okay. This guy says that when you're a conversation is going well for you, your legs and feet move up like tapping to a song. He said depressed people don't lift their feet very much.
Is that your last topic?
This is my last topic. I'm
that's
almost
got no play. It's the after show.
Okay.
The after show
true.
Time.
I've had enough of this.
I don't necessarily believe that. How can you – everybody has different – styles of conversing in body language. I don't think you can.
Okay. Yeah, pressed lips. Last thing I'll mention, pressed lips. When something's wrong, people clam up. They press their lips together.
I don't.
And with that, it's the end of the show!
So what? What are they doing?
I'm going to say one last thing. You know what? Jerry always told me that Maureen always said, don't have a show before a holiday. And Jerry said, no, you got to have a show. You got to have a show. And it's a shambles. That's what it is.
It's a shambles?
I'm out of here. You take over,
Animal.
Jerry.
Animal. It was a good show.
Goodbye.
It was a good show. Everybody, did you like the show?
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
All right.
Me faking like I've been drinking? It just adds to it, Animal. You got to have a little stage, a little theater, okay?
A little theater. It's all about.
Yeah,
the
you've got nothing. It's you and your phone. You gotta make it something different. Okay.
I'm gonna be drinking in 30 minutes.
Really?
I'm a big man now, and I don't have to be nice to people unless I wanna.
See, no, that's good stuff. I don't know who did that. It wasn't me, but I like it.
I think it was Animal.
Couldn't care less.
Animal. Animal, are you still there? Animal.
Did you tune out, Animal? Oh.
He didn't.
And Thanksgiving Eve is my favorite holiday.
Hey, is anybody flying tomorrow?
What?
Playing?
Is anybody flying tomorrow?
Oh, flying. Flying.
No.
Playing. Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Just going to be me, huh?
Yeah, man.
Enjoy the pat down.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it.
That's what I'm saying. Next time I fly, it's going to be,
you know,
hey.
I've spent half my life waiting
for a pat down. What's the problem with it?
Hey, I've got 25,000
exactly.
miles logged in over 2 months. I have not had one problem. These people need to pipe down.
I don't have a problem.
Okay, all righty. I thought it was an okay show. I'm not sure what he was talking about. But
I enjoyed it.
I liked it.
Anytime you get to hear Rhianne for more than a couple of words, it's better.
Rhianne, would you take the next couple of minutes and just talk a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, what would you like me to talk about, boys?
Talk about your wardrobe.
My wardrobe. Well, today I actually have a pair of very tight jeans on.
What?
What?
Back up a little bit. I missed that. I was what?
I have a pair of very tight jeans on.
Nice.
Black boots. A black camisole with a black drapey, kind of like a flash dancey top over it.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be a party to this, okay? How many people are on the line here? Huh?
Hey, man, my divorce was final Tuesday, so
really?
It's like...
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Something to be thankful for, right, Blake?
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it.
Okay. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to my daughter's house.
Really?
Yep.
This is
wow.
This will be my first Thanksgiving alone. My ex-wife is taking my children to her family's up in Dallas.
Mm.
So I'm going to eat a lot on Thursday, and then I'm going to have a cleanse on Friday morning.
Yeah, my first Thanksgiving alone was really hard. Are you prepared
for
that?
Hey, call the therapy line, people.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, you asked.
This is therapy, Jerry. Jeez.
You said, what are you doing on Thanksgiving?
Not all of us can have a
cleanse. Yeah, I didn't ask how do you feel about what you have to be doing this weekend.
Not all of
I
us
just
can
asked,
have
what
a
are
crown
you
and
doing?
Seven in our hand right now at 9:58 on a Thursday or a Wednesday.
I feel good about it, Jerry. Jeez. I got no issues with it. It'd be nice to have some alone
okay,
time.
Man. Hey, back off. Back off.
It's all right, Jerry. Okay.
You know, sometimes I just feel guilty.
Just put your face over your glass and take a deep breath.
I feel guilty.
Got
a great
Jerry.
Family. Nice home. I'm not, you know, I'm not sad.
Jerry.
Yeah.
How's the traps doing? Have your kids got any muskrats lately?
Dude, we got one today, man. Muskrats.
Did you eat muskrats?
No, you just take them down to the fur buyer, and he gives you $5 a piece.
Really?
That's
do you
awesome.
Kill them first, or do you take them alive?
Ooh, no, you don't take them alive. They're dead when you trap them.
Oh, really? What do you put them in, like a giant mouse trap or something?
Yeah.
Snap their neck?
Looks like the old bear traps.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, neither is them digging a hole in my dam for my pond and destroying my party spot.
Did you build your pond, or did you build your house on the pond? Mm-hmm.
The pond exactly. came after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to think about that.
Kind of a pool pond.
And we trapped them all. We trapped them all off the pond, so now we're back in the wetlands. And it's a whole different approach.
Hmm.
Yeah. Is the conversation
then.
Starting to fade a little bit?
Yeah, well, as soon as you start talking about muskrats.
I'm going to give the show a 9.5 across the board. How about that, everybody?
There's no half points. You made that rule. What the hell?
No. I'm just saying I'll assume I got everybody's scores and averaged them.
Oh, okay.
Good idea. That's good.
Maybe the best show ever.
Hey, nobody talked about Kathy's new job.
I love my job.
You're working for Arbita?
I am, and it's like the coolest bunch of people I have ever worked with. It's so much work, but they are so cool. It's crazy.
What are you doing for them?
I'm working on a new division of theirs called SOS, Sourcing Outsourcing, and I'm also helping with hiring of contract sourcers. But, you know,
cool.
Todd Raymer is just like a jewel. He couldn't do any better. He's so anti-corporate, you know. It's just so different than Sodexo. It's great.
He definitely is.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I love it.
Are they still doing job distribution?
Yes. They're just branching out.
Good. So you do know we are friendly rivals now then, right?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm not, plenty of room.
I'm not working in that division, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But it's a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, congratulations. Something to be thankful.
Congratulations, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, the cleaning crew just got here, so I need
now,
to get
Jerry?
Off because it's going to get loud.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
What'd you say, Rayanne?
I forget now. Oh, there was noise, and so I thought maybe there was a muskrat climbing on your desk.
No, that was me finishing off a Heineken lager.
What does a muskrat look like?
Heineken? Anybody drink that anymore?
Well, guys over at my place do.
You want to come up to Wisconsin and drink some hearty goat.
You invite people that bring you Heineken? You should invest in a little Fat Tire or Stella.
I've got some Fat Tire, the 20-ouncers, 22-ouncers.
That's good stuff.
I try not to be a beer bigot. I mean, if there's a cold beer in my fridge, I'm going to give it a shot. What's the problem?
Bigot.
Gary, I'm telling you, when you come back near Milwaukee, pick up some horny goat. You got to try that stuff. It's good.
Horny goat. I think you can go to prison for that.
No, it's called Horny Goat by Horny Goat Brewery, and they got a bar that's called The Hideaway, and they've branched out. It's in all the bars and all the grocery stores now, liquor stores.
What's
you got to
show
check
score,
out the website.
People.
Their
show
pictures
score.
On the bottles are pretty funny.
Oh, I thought you answered for us, Gary.
What?
I thought you already did our scores for us.
Sorry, everybody. I just got a text message here.
Uh-oh.
Which is kind of rare for me. Dinner. Oh. Okay, guys. I'm going to have to get going. Yeah, just reading some important stuff. Motivating stuff, if I will.
Uh-huh.
I hope you guys all have a happy Thanksgiving. I am not drunk. I had one cocktail.
I heard the ice. It was one empty cocktail.
Giant one.
One of those 32 ounces.
That's
Dad's
little secret. I'm only having one.
Uh-huh.
Give me the tumbler.
Every 5 minutes.
Everybody have a wonderful holiday. Talk to you next week.
You going anywhere, Rayanne?
Nope, I'm staying in town. My daughter is hosting Thanksgiving this year. And
cool.
Much to my family's chagrin, they all wanted me to come to Vegas, and I had no desire to drive the desert highway.
So you will be around if anybody needs you?
I will be around if anybody needs
okay.
me. Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Have a great holiday, everyone.
Have a great holiday, everybody.
Take care,
Bye.
Everybody. Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.